Welcome back to Living Our Breast Lives, episode 4, a podcast not only about two women thriving with metastatic breast cancer, but also self-love, appreciation, and overall awakening to this beautiful gift we call life. We will be focusing on a different word each episode. Please don't forget to not only tune in, but to also subscribe and review.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning into our podcast, Living Our Breast Lives. My name is Brittany, and with me is Ren.
Hello, hello. Hope everyone's having a beautiful day today. Before we get started, Miss Brittany herself has some really big news she wants to share with everyone today.
So there's no easy way to say this, but I am now NED, no evidence of disease. I saw my oncologist this morning. I had a PET scan earlier this week, and there is no active cancer in my body right now.
Yes, that is what I'm talking about.
I like to think when I, you know, joked in the other episodes how I'm jelly that you're NED and hope to be there one day, that was me manifesting that.
It sure was.
Yeah. For anyone listening, don't ever give up hope. There is always hope. You just have to remember that and focus on that.
Such great news. We are all so freaking happy for you, Brittany. Congratulations.
Woo-hoo. I'll clap for myself. I'll process it later. Nick, take me to dinner. Yay.
Seriously. And now, Britt, instead of only being MBC queens, now we can be no evidence of active disease queens. Whoop, whoop.
I love it. I love it.
Me too. Such a beautiful day. And in addition to that really great news, Britt and I finally got ourselves microphones. So we're really hoping that the audio quality starts to improve. Look at us, little podcasting newbies out here just trying to do the damn thing.
Go us.
And for those of you that tuned into Light Up NBC's live show on the 13th, thank you, thank you, thank you. Over $190,000 was raised for MBC research.
Woo, that's wonderful. That's even more than I had last heard. So for today's podcast, we're going to be focusing on something we all think we will have more of, but never have enough of. Ren, any guesses what you think I could be talking about?
Yeah, time, because we talked about it before the episode.
Okay, smarty pants. I was just testing to see if you listened to me.
Testing me or my chemo brain?
Both, but probably more your chemo brain. But in all seriousness, we have all heard that time is precious. And with that, we have also said, I'll get to it in time. Not this time, but next time. But if time is so precious, why are we putting it off?
A traumatizing, life-changing experience has the ability to stop you, literally stop you in your tracks and make you look at your life completely differently. I mean, it's kind of like what you said in episode 2, when you said, bravo, cancer. You applauded cancer for opening your eyes to the importance of life that clearly couldn't be seen before.
And now I'm applauding you, cancer, for leaving. No offense, but bye. But I must say, I feel really special that you listened to me because I did say that, didn't I?
You sure did.
So on today's episode, our hope is that you find some takeaways and are able to apply them to your life. A huge change I have made to live my breast life is how I use my time. I am sure you can relate to this, but I remember when I was told I had an incurable cancer, it was like I could not see more than a few months in front of me. Everything after those months went black.
I actually felt the same way. I got to a point where I didn't even want to buy new clothes.
I had the same thoughts where I, you know, why spend money on clothes I might never, ever have a chance to wear. But I started to look at items I had purchased for a special occasion that hadn't come yet, thinking, I am never going to wear this. But then, you know me, being the queen of quotes that I am, came across this. Don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Being alive is the special occasion.
There are a lot of other thoughts regarding that time where things just flash before your eyes at a time of crisis. I actually remember wanting to pull all of my money out of my retirement Roth IRA. I just kind of sat there and thought to myself, well, will I actually live to see retirement? At that moment, I just didn't really see a point in building these funds because I felt like time was weighing on me.
I get that entirely. My dad has always guided me in regards to my financial future. I set up my 401k and always put enough in to receive my employer match.
Oh, yeah. Dads and their daughters' retirement funds. I've heard it all. The never-ending suggestions from the older and wiser.
Well, they are older. Sorry, dads. And wiser, you know? So we're throwing out the compliments too.
We are.
And as I got older, you know, my dad suggested to me, every time you get a raise, you should take part of that raise and put more towards your retirement. And I remember always saying, what if I don't live to retirement? I mean, if you really think about it, you're squirreling away money that could have been used to travel or whatever else makes your heart happy, only to be on a stricter budget in preparation for the future.
And even without, you know, a diagnosis, the whole like putting money away for 30 years, like it's kind of a difficult concept to grasp, especially when you're in your early 20s and just starting your career. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, ooh, I finally have a paycheck. I want to spend it. It's all about balance. You have to be smart and plan for your future because not a single one of us knows how long we will be on this earth for. I remember when I was first diagnosed, you know, like you, I wanted to just empty my savings, empty my retirement and go travel the world.
Girl, that was my mindset to a T, but then reality sets in.
Yeah, because you could live a year, you could live 10 years. You can't be reckless thinking your time is limited. And honestly, navigating how to prepare financially for the future isn't unique to illness. When saving for retirement, you have to plan, assuming you're going to live X amount of years, but also be prepared if you live longer.
I thought that way for a very long time. And if I'm being honest, there is still a part of me that does. Okay. We talked about this in, you know, previous episodes, the thoughts linger. I want to do everything on my bucket list in a short period of time, just in case the opportunity doesn't present itself later on in the future. I mean, can you really blame me for that?
No, but it's like we have said, at the end of the day, none of us know how much time we have. That is why it is so important to not become so preoccupied with looking towards the future so much that you forget to live for now, for this moment.
Exactly. Living in the now is what's most important because you never know what tomorrow will bring.
You really don't. And I always thought that I was a dreamer until I met my husband. But I mean, he takes the cake. He loves to talk about where we should travel to, where we should live next, what he should do for a career after he retires from the military, etc. But after my diagnosis, I didn't want to hear about it at all. I couldn't even think, let alone plan for anything past the next couple months.
Oh, I get it. Emotionally, it's like you're just hitting a wall. But like I said earlier, I don't think these thoughts will ever fully disappear, but it's all about how you choose to channel it. This is kind of my perspective on it. Looking towards the future is just another boundary that needs to be set. That's all. So it can add positivity and excitement to your life, but flexibility always has to be there as an option, considering the fragility of our situations.
Oh, I love that. I love how you explain that. You know, no one's guaranteed tomorrow. No one's guaranteed another second. I just don't understand why an illness can make that more of a reality.
I feel like I've shed my skin 10 times in the last 3 years. Like I've had, what, 5 lives at this point?
Wouldn't that be 10 lives then? Or am I confused? I could be confused.
Okay. It doesn't feel like 10. You know, it's half. It's half of that. It's 5.
Oh, okay.
That makes me feel a little bit better at least.
Oh, okay. So if you're a cat, you still have 4 more. So that's good. If you're someone who continually puts off their hopes and dreams and aspirations because it's not the right time, the cliche saying life is too short and YOLO are applicable to everyone. There is so much to see, do, and experience in this world, and you just need to let go and live. I just know while I'm still here, I want to take life and all of its beauties and wonders in. Like when it comes to travel, Don't tempt me. If you even mention a trip, I'm inviting myself. Like, when are we going? Should I pack my bags now? Just kidding. Bags are already packed, ready to go.
I cannot wait for the world to just officially open back up so we can live our breast lives and travel. Girl, you know I love me some traveling.
Oh, I know. You don't think I noticed that you weren't home for like the entire month of July?
I was everywhere this past summer. Well, you know what? I was making up for lost time.
And I know traveling is not always feasible or realistic. That is why I want you to know that I have found removing myself from the materialistic things in life has led to finding joy in the simpler things. And it has been much more satisfying.
Like watching my hummingbirds in my backyard. Simple, yet brings me so much joy. You know what I think it is? People get so caught up in the materialistic crap, but there's just so much more to life.
I'm like picturing in my head all the hummingbirds that used to flutter around my mom's hibiscus trees in the summer. Aww. I haven't seen those cuties in a while. But I know what you mean, because recently I took a trip back home and it wasn't exactly a turn and burn. You know, one of those trips where you're in and back out. The ones where you spend more time getting to your destination than spending there.
Oh, yeah. Those are like you blink and it's over.
Yeah, I think I was there a total of 36 hours. I had to pick up my kitties from their grandma's house. and even though it was a short trip, it was just perfect. I woke up to the sun shining, blue skies, sat outside on my mom's porch to drink my morning coffee, you know, and then we went for a scenic drive around our peninsula. We didn't even do anything extravagant. It was just about being present, enjoying the beautiful weather. It was just so peaceful and relaxing.
I'm almost feeling relaxed right now just listening to you.
Yeah, I mean, and I want to say too, it was revitalizing, you know? It just like replenished me, restored me. I didn't want the day or the feeling to end. I was sad I had to leave the next day.
Everyone needs to do things that make them happy. Things that make their time here on this earth worthwhile. Going home always seems to bring you that happiness, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. And as we Erieites say, it's okay to love Erie. Erie will forever be home and forever give me comfort that no other place can. And you've made some pretty big changes, you know, to live your breast life.
I would say the first thing that pops into my head, making the decision to leave the classroom full time. So I taught fifth grade for a total of 6 years before leaving. But it just like, it's not possible. It's just not possible to have a full-time job when you have ongoing lifelong treatment. It's just not.
So how did you get to that decision to leave? Because I know personally, I struggled for months, maybe even a year before I could leave my career.
I remember having those conversations with you, those back and forth, like, should you do it? Should you not do it? It's tough. It really is. And teaching in general is a difficult job to begin with. And then you try adding a cancer diagnosis into the mix. So forget about it. But it's like leaving behind the stressors of teaching was probably the best thing I could have done for myself. And for our non-teachers listening, these stressors would be parent-teacher conferences, grading papers, staff meetings, professional development, lesson planning, managing student behavior, and then differentiating student academic levels. It's just, teaching is a lot.
I can't even imagine how much stress comes with being a teacher, especially in today's world. And your day doesn't end in the classroom. The job comes home with you.
Oh yeah. I remember sitting, I would sit on my couch. I would get home from work and my day of teaching wouldn't end for probably 2 to 3 hours later because of how much additional work I would have to bring home. But it's like, now I feel like I'm finally able to enjoy what I'm doing because I've learned to put myself first. And some people will settle and they'll stay in stressful jobs because they feel like they have to, or they might feel like there's nothing else out there. But taking a leap is sometimes the best thing you can do. And my leap was obviously forced. because I really didn't have a choice in the matter. However, silver lining, because cancer aside, I'm actually way happier this way. And another silver lining, I even have more time to help my husband run his two businesses, which I know he's appreciative of. And
power couple.
Yeah, but who has two businesses? Like, come on.
Oh. Danny. But I don't know when the man sleeps, but hey, if he can keep it going. But it's good that you mentioned putting yourself first, because I know people don't do that enough. If you have a job you are not completely satisfied with, if it is too stressful, requires more from you than you want to give, you are never too old to switch careers or start over, especially Amen. If it will bring you happiness. Coming from Erie and moving to the DC area, I don't know how some folks do their daily commutes. Precious time taken from their day to enjoy things like family time, sports, any other activities that, you know, tickle their fancy. If you are overwhelmed sitting in traffic day in and day out, missing out at home, maybe look for something closer. Maybe the money won't be as good, but if you can live off of it and you're able to get back to spending your time where you want to on things that you enjoy, that is what it is all about.
Preach.
Living. And on the flip side, if you like the commutes because it is you time to listen to music, podcasts, or sit in silence, and that makes you happy, by all means, do it. That's great.
And I know some people really do love their commutes, and then there are some people like me who can't wait to get out of the car.
Oh, yeah, I got to stretch my old arthritic legs. I'm not kidding. It really does depend on the person. So circling back, because yeah, I'm the queen of getting off track. I'm the queen of many things. What other changes have you made to make the most out of your life?
Let's see. Some other changes that I've made. Oh, this one's important. I try so hard not to sweat the small stuff. I only use my time and energy for things that are important. And I've learned to somehow, and this took really hard work, to categorize things into important versus not important, and then act on those things wisely. And then doing that allows me to be in control of what gets my time and my energy, kind of like setting another boundary. But it's a boundary set with myself.
You got the power.
So I'm going to put it on you. What are some ways that you've, you know, made the most out of life and the time that you're given?
Well, I, like you, also left my career, which, you know, you had mentioned was difficult. I think I talked to you 4 months before I actually, you know, mm-hmm. took the plunge. And it was a tough decision because I went into healthcare because I absolutely love helping and taking care of people. And mm-hmm. it took time to process that. Even though I was leaving my job, it didn't mean helping people was going to end. I'm hopeful that my writings and this podcast, you know, are helping many people.
And I hope so. I mean, we've said it before. If this podcast helps just one person, then it's all been worth it, right?
Exactly. So we all know that I love to travel. I feel like, you know, my side hustle should be like a travel agent.
Girl, I've told you that before.
Yeah. And I will also say and throw this out here, DM us on Instagram. It is my dream, because I love Disney so much, to plan someone's vacation. And I just want to like plan it and let me know what you think of my planning skills. So if you to take a trip to Disney, message us and I will work on it for you. I just want you to have the best experience possible. First person gets my services. No, I'm kidding. but I used to, with, you know, always want to have something on the calendar to look forward to as far as travel is concerned. Before I was home from one trip, I'd already be planning the next. And I'm not going to lie and say that that has changed really, because if anything, I think so much to see, even littler time, but I have made short and long-term goals, things that are more doable than others.
I like that. So it's almost like you see which goals are feasible at the moment. And then of course, those that are not. And if it's too much for you at that moment, you put it, you know, on the back burner. And then when you're ready and able, you go and you do it.
Yeah. And honestly, I found that the last minute least planned trips, usually spent in nature, are my favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But how many of us truly look at the beauty in each sunrise and each sunset? The way tall grass sways in the wind. When was the last time you sat on a fallen tree or rock and watched the squirrels run up and down the tree and its branches? Listened to the birds singing their song? Just sat and really immersed yourself in what is around you. We could all work on being more present in the moment that we are in.
To answer your question, I don't think many people do that. And I don't know about you, but I find nothing more beautiful than a sunrise or sunset. I've even trained my husband to send me pictures of them because he knows how happy they make me. I'm super excited about this. My sister and I are taking a cute little sisters trip next weekend to the beach. And we're going because there's nothing better than a Carolina sunset in October. I mean, it is to die for. I am so excited. You know, my biggest thing for this episode today is I just hope everybody listening takes the time to digest what we are saying, because at the end of the day, you do not need a medical diagnosis to have these epiphanies, these realizations. You can see all the beauty this life has to offer, even when you're perfectly healthy.
You're absolutely right. I just wish everyone could have these realizations before you miss out on the opportunity when, you know, you're young and healthy enough to enjoy these things.
And I think having short-term and long-term goals is really important too. So what does that look like for you?
Are you kidding me? That's the easiest question I've ever been asked. Long-term goal, to live. Short-term yes. Girl, to live.
I can't tell you how many stories I hear about women with MBC who are going on 15 to 20 years with this disease.
What?
I know. And if you're one of them, if you're one of these miracle human beings, we want you on our podcast because we want to hear about how you are living your long, fulfilling breast lives.
Yes, we do. So as we wrap this episode up, for today's takeaway, I want to share the words of Elvis de Leon. Imagine if you wake up every day with $84,600 in your bank account. And every day at the end of the night, it's gone, whether you wasted it or not. And then the next day, you get another $84,600. You would do everything in your power to spend it because you know the next day you are getting another $84,600. You don't want to leave anything there. You'd make the best of it. You get 84,600 seconds. Why waste time? It doesn't carry over to the next day. It doesn't earn interest. Take every day and every moment and make something of it. Make something positive.
Because seriously, at the end of the day, whether it's money or time, it should never be wasted. And if you wouldn't waste the $84,600 each day, then why would you waste the precious 84,600 seconds?
And with that being said, thank you so much for tuning into our podcast, Living Our Breast Lives. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Living Our Breast Lives, where we will share podcast updates, special dates, educational resources, and of course, health updates for those following our metastatic breast cancer journeys. Have questions, comments, or anything else you would like answered on our podcast? Send us a message on Instagram. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And as always, choose kindness. Someone may look fine on the outside, but you never know who's actually struggling on the inside. Until next time, don't forget to live your breast lives.
God bless. Thanks, everyone. Take care. And now, instead of just being MBC queens, you know, now we are no evidence of active disease queens. Shit, I screwed that up. I've made a conscious, conscience? Is it conscience or conscious?
Conscious.
Conscious?
Yeah, conscious.
Am I saying that right?
You're absolutely right.
I thought you were.
Oh, no. You're absolutely right.
Wait. What did I just say?